Hello and welcome to episode 3 of Crushing Disappointment. If in the last episode we were broadening out the term of crush, this episode we're sticking dynamite in it as I chat with James about his crush on the song Pure Shores by All Saints. I'm going to try and do a proper introduction for this episode, or a longer introduction. So in terms of the editing of this episode, James and I got a bit off topic, started talking about different bands, different types of music. I think I've done okay, but I'd be interested to know if anyone thinks the tangents are interesting or whether these should have been scrapped. I've also maybe gone a bit too far with the editing. So far I've been cutting out little bits here and there, taking out any or some long pauses or that sound that people make, the kind of before you say a sentence. Well, I seem to be doing it quite a lot, so I've taken those out. But then I sort of got a bit carried away and I started moving bits about. So there's a bit in this where James and I were actually talking about Anthony the Johnsons. We'd stopped talking, they were the seed of the conversation. James was talking about how he gets more pleasure from music rather than lyrics. And then I've kind of just slammed that in the middle of a conversation about Pure Shores. So I'm not sure of the morality of that. But I'm hoping as I get better as being an interviewer, there'll be less need for me to make these edits. So, for example, when I was chatting to Anna, there was a few questions that I'd forgot to ask Anna in the John Rhys-Meyers episode. So I moved those earlier. And I don't know, that's kind of given me a license to go a bit crazy with it. And I guess maybe also I've come to realise, I don't know, maybe I'm a little bit, I've maybe done quite a few like vanity edits. Like I tend to mumble quite a bit before I say a question. I've been cutting that out. Yeah, so with this episode, there's quite a bit of editing. And with the next one as well, it's similar. But I'm hoping that as I get better at it, there'll be less and less. What else is on my list? Oh, yeah. So in this episode, we're discussing the song Pure Shores. Because of copyright issues, I can't put the song in the episode, even though it would be really, really handy. So I'll put a link in the description so that you can listen to that if you're not familiar with it. There's actually a point in the interview where I play it to James, who's not heard it in a long time. So I don't know if you're sitting at home rather than commuting, that might be a good point to listen to it. I also show him a clip from The Beach in which Leonardo DiCaprio and Virginie Ledoyen go swimming in the sea. And the song Pure Shores is playing in the background. I'll throw that clip in the description as well. What else do I have to say? I think that's basically it. Cool, so here we go. Episode 3. So I sent you a text saying, I'm doing this podcast about crushes.
Yeah.
How do you go from that point to picking a song? No one else has come back with a song.
Well, I suppose you said when you contacted me about your first crush. And so I trawled back through my memory to try and think of when my first crush was. And it's kind of all very hazy. And I don't have any particular person that comes to mind, and I tried to think of celebrities or film stars and such like, and just nothing came to mind. I just never had any kind of, I mean, I found some celebrities attractive, but I'd never say I had a crush on them. And the only thing I remember, like the earliest memory I have of ever having that feeling of a crush or having a feeling of attraction to not a particular person but just that feeling of attraction, was when I was listening to this song in primary school.
Yeah,
when we had assemblies, we had different music when we walked into the assembly hall, and one week was All Saints, Pure Shores. And I assume that week maybe I must have been attracted to some girl. I mean, it wasn't, I don't really have a memory of being attracted to a person in particular. All I have is a memory of that song and a feeling of being having a crush, and just the general feeling of realizing that you can have feelings for a girl, pretty much. I think that was the first time I ever was aware of the opposite sex, mm-hmm. at the age of, I don't know, 7 or 8, I assume it must have been.
Yeah, I think it came out in 2000, so.
Yeah, so yeah, 7 or 8.
Now. Although I don't imagine that our primary school was up to date, okay, so yeah. It could have been years and years.
Who knows, yeah. It was definitely in primary school, so, you know, younger than 10. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you had that reaction to it immediately. It's not like a case of nostalgia, of looking back and seeing that.
I mean, it's hard to know with memory because you can never trust your memory, really. I'm pretty sure it was that song, but I haven't listened to it since. So in my head, it's always been that song, and now that's what I associate with it. And I don't ever remember sort of particularly enjoying the song, or it wasn't just like, oh, this song's great and I'm associating with this time or anything. It was just that song was very much associated with that particular feeling. And I think because I've never listened to it since, it never became like, oh, the music I listened to. It's never had any other meaning other than that one week and that one time I heard it, and that's all I associate with it. And I guess because it's probably quite a strong and powerful feeling when you feel it for the first time, you're going to associate it quite strongly with it.
Yeah, I can't remember where I saw it, but I was reading about the link between music and nostalgia, and it was that idea that songs will create more of a feeling in you than a specific memory. It's not like you think of the song and you think you remember that specific time. It's perhaps more of, I remember being that age.
Yeah.
But I guess you've got the specific memory of it being in assembly, so does it extend to, when you hear that song, do you see yourself in that assembly hall, or do you have just the sensation of being that age?
Yeah, I think it's more the sensation of being that age and being in that place. It's not necessarily sitting, you know, the third row back in the assembly hall. I just remember that's where I heard it, like, oh yeah, that's where I heard it, but it's kind of more the image of that song. Like, I remember sitting down and seeing an image of water and like someone swimming, mm-hmm. and that's kind of what brings up more than the fact that I was sitting in an assembly room.
And as you say, swimming, I remember when we first talked about the song, you couldn't remember what the band was. You say you thought it was either Atomic Kitten.
Yeah, I thought it was like, it was some girl band, like a Sugar Babes Atomic Kitten. I didn't really know.
And then the song, you said it was a swimming.
Yeah,
song.
All I remember is like something with swimming closer. That's all I could remember. Like that it was just that, and that was the main image I had from it. Like when I think of it, it's all quite dark, and on the edge of a swimming pool or the sea, and all I see is like these waves lapping, and someone swimming. Yeah, and I guess that's kind of all I took from it. But I think the idea of, as you said, music creating nostalgia for a particular feeling or a particular time rather than a specific place, maybe because when you listen to music, it takes a while to... I mean, sometimes you have an impact straight away. Like, that's the first time I heard that piece. But often it builds, you know, you listen to it repeatedly, and you often listen to it repeatedly when you're in a certain mood. You know, maybe sometimes when you're a teenager, you go and listen to Nirvana when you're in a certain mood, or you go listen to Radiohead. So that music is always going to take you back to teenage years when you're feeling angsty or something.
So one of my main questions that I was supposed to ask is, do you think you've got synesthesia?
Is that where you associate memories with...
So if I went
like, isn't it memories with flavours and colours and smells?
Yeah, essentially. So I went on for Neuroscience for Kids, and their definition is that... synesthesia is a condition in which one sense, for example hearing, is simultaneously perceived as if by one or more additional senses such as sight. So you can see smells.
my mother and sister claim to have that. Well, in a way, they see colours with certain words. Like every word, every letter, they have a colour associated with it. So they, you know, you say P and they'll say green.
Yeah.
And like they'll see it. And I can sometimes see that, but not that strong. They seem to have it quite strongly. But I think listening to music and associating it with an image or maybe a smell, but not every time. It's just like only if it does have something obviously strongly related.
Yeah. Because music definitely, you can have an emotional impact from just listening to a song, and especially when you intertwine memory with it.
Yeah.
But I guess to say that you have a crush on a song is very specific. It's because I would say there's... I mean, I should probably find out a good definition for a crush if I'm going to do this constantly. But I feel like there's an element... So the interviews I've done so far, there's an erotic element to it, or there's an aspirational element to it. How do you have that with a song?
So I would say my idea of a crush wouldn't have an aspirational element. I think my idea of a crush is kind of an unreasoned attraction to someone. It's kind of, you can have a crush on someone you don't know. I'm sure I remember in sort of like teenage years just seeing someone, just suddenly having a crush on them, and like I'd never even spoken to them, didn't even know their name, and for some reason just like there was this, like they weren't, I mean obviously they must have been attractive at least, but nothing, just a random person almost. And it's kind of, I think, the time you're going through puberty where, you know, you start to feel things in an odd way. And I think in a way that song kind of just makes me feel those sort of kind of unreasoned, almost illogical attraction, not to a specific person, not necessarily to the song in itself, but it just brings those feelings for some reason.
Yeah.
And it's not, I think that's how I define a crush, not to be, like, if I knew someone and was really attracted to them and liked their personality and, you know, and I started to love them, then that wouldn't be a crush, because that's more than a crush. A crush to me just sounds like something you definitely have in your teenage years or younger, when it's kind of almost illogical and there's no real foundation for why. You can't explain why you're attracted to them. It's just this kind of natural desire to be near them for some reason, yeah. even though you can't really put your finger on it.
Mm.
And I think that song kind of just makes me feel that somehow.
So was Pure Shores the type of music you were listening to at the time? Were you into music at the time?
No, I hadn't discovered music yet. I don't think, you know, I didn't buy a CD player till I was like 12, I think. So okay. It was a good few years before I started like actively listening to music. And since then, I've never listened to that sort of music. I mean, in a way, that's maybe a surprise, you know, because it obviously had some impact on me. But I remember at the time being slightly embarrassed by liking it for some mm-hmm. reason. You know, even then, I think I was a bit wankerish and didn't want to like the popular chart stuff. Yeah.
Well, it was, I forget my stats, number one for 2 weeks and remained the chart for 16 weeks. It was the second biggest selling single of the year 2000.
Really?
So it was everywhere. And as someone who, as you say, is a bit wanky, it would have been to like the second best selling single of the year. Wouldn't have been something that you would have got on board with.
No, probably not. But then at the age of 7, I don't know if my wankeriness had developed, had fully flourished yet, yeah. you know, until I started listening to Vivaldi and Bach. It hadn't quite come through.
So you have two older siblings. What were they listening to? And was it that thing of older siblings passing down their music taste to the younger sibling?
There was, I think there was some delayed passing down.
Mm-hmm.
I remember my brother was went through a phase of being very much into Nirvana and Guns N' Roses, and he got into skating and sort of like the kind of grunge rock scene.
I mean, your brother was much cooler than you in school. That's
much cooler, yeah. But because he liked that, I felt I couldn't like that. That was like his stuff. And like, I listened to Nirvana and I was like, yeah, that's quite good, but my brother likes that, so I shouldn't like that. And it was only when I got a little bit older that I kind of admitted that, yeah, okay, I can like the same stuff as him. So yeah, he did pass a few things down, and I guess I passed a few things up. I probably passed more up than him down. But it was only as I got older and got over that idea that I can't like the same stuff as my brother that we did start to converge in some of our tastes. Mm-hmm. And with my sister, she's 7 years older, and maybe wasn't into, I didn't hear her play as much music as my brother did. So there's a few things she passed down, but I guess because the age gap was slightly bigger and she didn't play stuff as often, I wouldn't pick as much up from her, really.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the image I have of your family being young is all sitting around the record player listening to some like new wave.
All discussing the nuances.
Dissecting him.
Yeah.
And so like,
how I wish.
How accurate is that?
Like, that is quite far from the truth.
I mean, were your parents into music?
Yeah, my dad listens to a lot of music. I think maybe one of the reasons I started listening to music, you know, must come from my family listened to music, and maybe in a way, a slightly sort of male fascination with gear and technology. And like my dad, sort of, I remember my brother buying a hi-fi system, and like, I remember going around the shops with him and my dad, and they were like looking through the magazines and looking at the reviews, and I was like, yeah, that's cool, I want one of those. And like, he bought, you know, the first time he bought separates, you know, like bought an amp and a CD player and speakers, and that was kind of like the thing to do when you get to like 15, 16. So when I got that age, I was like, yeah, it's time for me to buy a hi-fi system. And I think almost I inherited the idea of listening to music more than the actual music itself, which you kind of makes you sort of appreciate music just by the fact that you want to use your new CD player.
So does that mean you turn away from Spotify? Is that not something that you...
Yeah, I do naturally turn away from Spotify, but I think because maybe when I was starting to listen to music, obviously everything was on CD, and you build up a CD collection, and you somehow become attached to the idea of having a physical item and, you know, having a place for it and being able to get out and play a whole album. And when Spotify came out and I started listening to it, first I was just overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. I just didn't know what to listen to. There was too much out there. And I mean, it is amazing. It's great. But just there's so much choice. You get so lost in it. I feel I can't really appreciate the music as much because I start listening to one thing and then see, oh, you may enjoy this artist, this related artist, and you just keep clicking and clicking, and you maybe listen to one or two tracks from each artist, and you just get lost in it. Whereas if you have a CD or a record, you kind of have a relationship with that one album and you listen to it all the way through many times and you just listen to that one album for like a few weeks and you just appreciate it a lot more. Yeah. Although having said that, so many of my favourite artists now I've discovered through Spotify. Mm-hmm. And I still listen to it as a way to discover new artists, but then maybe I'd go buy their CD or record afterwards.
It feels to me like with Spotify it can be, you can find more new music as you say, but it's much more disposable. Like,
exactly.
If yeah. I buy a CD, I'm going to listen to it, and actually I might even not like it that much, but I'm going to listen to it enough times that I actually end up really appreciating it. And maybe I'll like read the cover or like go on the lyrics or like find out who the producer is. And with Spotify, I might give something a few seconds and then be like, no, it's not for me. Or certainly a track.
Yeah.
And never really be able to develop that relationship.
Yeah. And I found with some of the CDs I have bought when I was younger, I got really into REM. And it was kind of on a whim that I bought one of their albums. Like, I heard one track and it was a bit of a whim. And then I ended up I have 10 other albums or so. And now I sometimes listen to them and think, yeah, they're pretty average at best. like if I heard them now on Spotify, like, they wouldn't get past the first play.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that I bought those albums and spent however many hours just listening to those albums, they have some meaning to them now. And even though maybe they're not as the greatest albums, just because I've sat down and listened to them, they have their own worth, mm-hmm. which you don't... I mean, I guess maybe now with Spotify you can filter out that sort of stuff, but then maybe you miss out on some things that you don't put the effort in a way.
Do you feel a greater sense of identification or the idea of, I don't know how to say it, so someone comes over and they see their albums and it's like they see that as like a part of you as having, like, James is an REM fan, or you can sort of present that as, I don't quite know what I'm trying to say, do you get it? And
yeah, it's also like a reflection on your personality almost, or reflection on your taste,
or especially like being a teenager, like you have like your grunge kids listening to Nirvana, like that's all the skaters, like that's kind of, it becomes your identity. And with Spotify you perhaps have the chance to flip through more different genres, but you maybe don't get that sense, that deep connection.
You're not part of like one community of this is your music almost, I guess, in a way. Especially as a teenager, you definitely, or at least I find, you definitely were wanting to be part of a crowd or wanting to be part of the people who like Nirvana and that sort of scene, or the people who listen to hip-hop, or, you know, you do feel more that you should belong to one group. But I think as you grow older, at least I find that my tastes diverge quite a lot, and I no longer really... I mean, I say to myself I don't really care what people think about the music I listen to. I think subconsciously, deep down, there probably is some part of me that, you know, would like to. But I prefer to think that I just listen to the music that I enjoy and don't really care what other people think about what sort of music I listen to.
Daniel Levitin, from his book This Is Your Brain on Music, The Science of Human Obsession, says that we are discovering music on our own for the first time when we're young. Often through friends, we listen to the music they listen to as a badge, as a way of belonging to a certain social group. That melds the music to our sense of identity.
That sounds, I think that goes with what we've been saying.
Just a better way of saying it, really.
Yeah, I think so. It's a succinct way of saying it, especially, I think particularly in the, I'm going to say teenage years, mainly because that's when you definitely kind of start to want to find a group, don't you? Mm-hmm. You know, I remember sort of outside school, you'd hang around with the same people, and there's definitely certain physical areas where people hang around that, like, oh, the emos hang there, the geeks hang over there in the garden, or whatever. And, you know, you do all bond over the same sort of music, and that's kind of like one of the main things you can associate with each other. It's like, oh yeah, you like Nirvana, I like Nirvana, we should be friends. Like, whereas in actual fact, that's got nothing to do with it. Like, if you like Nirvana and I like Beyonce, pretty sure we can still be friends.
Yeah, but I guess you could have if Nirvana speaks to a certain person, and you could say that you've got overlapping sort of concerns or issues. And
I guess so. Yeah. I think that when you're a teenager, most people have very overlapping concerns, don't they?
Yeah.
But I think even if Nirvana speaks to you, I think the same ideas could be coming from a completely, like, you could be listening to some hip hop or something, and be getting this exactly the same concerns you're getting from listening to Nirvana. It's just you happen to hear it in a different channel. But you could still have the same overlapping ideas. Yeah. There's no reason why you shouldn't be friends. But I think when you're a teenager, you know, you can't be, oh man, that guy likes rap.
Yeah. Have you seen High Fidelity with John Cusack?
No.
I think they're putting together their top five albums of all time, and they sort of, the way they go about it is they'll put one sort of newer album on there, it's like a renegade choice, but they'll have defined, these are great albums on there, and it kind of boosts up, you're allowed to have that other album because you get the taste.
Right, yeah.
The one, I feel a bit like that sometimes where if I meet someone new and say, oh, what sort of music are you into? I wouldn't hit them straight away with the embarrassing stuff. I would hit them with the stuff that I think is cool.
Yeah.
Or like how, try and feel them out and see what they're into.
Yeah, and then kind of reflect a bit as to what they like.
And then once we've got that enough of a rapport, then I can be actually like, I really like this thing.
Yeah, I think that's pretty natural. I think I would probably follow that. I think having like, the more diverse music taste you have, the more you can field your music taste to other people. Yeah, it shouldn't really matter, should it? I think I always find it, I always hate when people say, oh, what music do you like? Mm-hmm. Oh, what music do you listen to? It's like, well, how do you answer that? Like, you can't, genre doesn't really exist anymore as such. Like, I can't say I like alternative. Like, there's nothing you can say. It's like, oh, I like Radiohead. You know, that's always a good one because everyone likes Radiohead. And even if they don't, they say, oh, you're cool, you like Radiohead.
Yeah. I mean, Radiohead is one of those bands where I probably know one album, but if...
You should listen to them all. They're the greatest band of our generation.
So I think OK Computer is the album that I know. And then Pablo Honey, just because of Creep.
Oh, don't listen to Pablo Honey.
No? Do you like Creep?
That whole album is just terrible. It's like the Radiohead have only produced one bad album. And that's Pablo Honey. just forget that album.
Okay.
I mean, that was, yeah. OK Computer, based on OK Computer, if you're only going to base it on one album. But really, you should listen to them. They are the greatest band of our generation.
I mean, are you not hating on Pablo Honey because it's got Creep on it, which is the main song that everyone knows, and you kind of want to distance yourself from the popular one?
No, I don't even think it is the main popular song. I mean, it's the one that got them famous, I guess. But, I mean, if you listen to OK Computer, Karma, Please, that's probably more famous, I'd say.
Yeah, maybe amongst people who are into music, but I'd say I think my parents would probably know Creep, but they wouldn't know Karma, Please.
If they listened to Karma, Please, they would know it. But if you listen to, like, Pablo Honey, it just sounds like a different band. Like, they're just not, it's not at all the same music. It's kind of like generic guitar music, really quite boring. Whereas every other album is just so new and innovative and exciting. Though I do genuinely believe they are probably the best band I've ever heard.
Are they, when you say best, does that mean favourite?
Not necessarily favourite, no. Mm-hmm. I sometimes find them a bit annoying. I just think they're the best quality. You know, they're just the most exciting, the newest. Or there's always something new and interesting, something different, something unexpected. Of our time, I can't think of anything else that has topped them, really, that I've heard.
I guess that distinction between favourite and best, does that perhaps link into what we were saying earlier about, would favourite need to have like an emotional connection to it?
Yeah, I think so.
That you could objectively say Radiohead are great, but maybe you didn't catch them at that particular moment.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, for me, Radiohead do definitely have a very emotional connection as well. I mean, I sort of started listening to them in my teens, so, and then I've been listening to them ever since. So there's definitely sort of a strong emotional connection. But I think... sometimes with Radiohead, it's kind of like everything that goes with them starts to annoy me. The way people... I mean, even I've just said they're the greatest band of our generation, but the way people just like go mad about them. Like, whenever they release a new concert or something, their tickets are sold out within like 30 seconds. And when a new album comes out, everyone's kind of like analysing, you know, what the lyrics are. And people kind of give it a greater sense of importance when really it is just some music. And that kind of annoys me in a way, even though I do agree that they are just absolutely amazing. But yeah, maybe that's why I kind of... sometimes this whole idea, I was like, oh, Radiohead, I can't bother them today.
I think... I can't remember what festival they were at, but they were doing their sound check, and people thought that it was new material.
Yeah, like, oh, what's this? Yeah, it's sounding really good.
And
people,
you saw these tweets from people saying, like, it's really unconventional. Yeah. Like, but it's, I think it's Radiohead back to their best. And so...
and that's exactly what I don't like about Radiohead.
Yeah, I mean that sound check could have been... amazing.
But I can't believe I missed it as well.
but maybe music in general is one of those things that you take from it what you bring to it. If you go into listening to that sound check expecting something great, you're listening for every beat of it.
That's true.
And I think to sort of laugh at those people who found something from it, yes, there's perhaps an element of it which is sort of looking down, like feeling themselves being very highbrow to their music. But I don't think that it necessarily... is without value to see.
No, I mean, those people obviously getting value out of it, aren't they? Or at least they're... are they convincing themselves? Are they truly convincing themselves? Or are they trying to convince other people? You know, are they thinking, yeah, this has got value? Or are they only saying that because they feel they should say that because it's Radiohead? I remember when I was first listening to Radiohead and like got really into them, and they were a really cool band. Obviously, they still are. And like, there's some tracks on some of their albums which are a little bit too out there and just a little bit painful to listen to. And like, now I think I'd not just skip it. Like, I just haven't got time for it. I haven't got the time of day for, you know, this just painful noise, pretty much. But I remember I used to try and listen to it and think, try and get something out of it. And like, maybe this is good. Maybe this is interesting. But now it's just like, Radiohead is just a band, and sometimes they make shit music, but most of the time it's amazing.
I mean, linking that back to All Saints.
Greatest band art.
Well, that's because, so, you know, people talk about bubblegum pop as being something that you like chew on, spit out, because it only has one thing to it. But pop has an immediate impact, I think, and it can convey emotions very quickly. And that All Saints song, I was listening to it earlier today, and I felt something while listening to it. It's both like dreamlike and it's calming. I think it gets us into all these polls, like the most relaxing songs of all time.
Yeah.
And I've listened to the top five singles of that year. I think it has some of the rest of those songs don't have. I mean, the top song was Bob the Builder, Can We Fix It? Which was the only song
that's... I mean, that has everything in it though, doesn't it, Matt?
And then that song sold more than All Saints.
Really? Wow. Well, I think to be a popular pop song, it just has to be instant, doesn't it? You know, it has to stir some emotion instantly, because there's so much noise to fight through to get people to listen. Mm-hmm. You know, you're going to hear it once or twice on the radio, and then you need people to remember it. Mm-hmm. I think it is a lot about rememberability of it as well, something that's catchy. That's what pop's about, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like a catchy tune.
I guess if the song is about a very specific circumstance that only relates to a few people, it's not going to have that broad appeal.
Yeah, it's not going to have universal appeal.
Exactly, but... So wait, I've got the lyrics.
Are you going to sing them?
I give it a go. But so it's, I've crossed deserts for miles, swam water. Sorry, I got stuck. Yeah. Basically, what I'm trying to get at is, it's this feeling of wanting to escape. It's wanting to be somewhere else, not be a part of where we are currently. And it's doing it through images of crossing deserts, swimming, searching places. Mm. It's kind of
generic sort of metaphors that we all use.
Exactly.
And we can all visualize, and we've maybe even said it before ourselves, you know. And I guess that anyone could put this out, could, you know, project their own problems onto that.
So do you think in that school assembly, you were listening to the lyrics? Do you think you had a sense of wanting to escape? or the lyrics passing you by? Because it's the first time I'd actually really listened to what it was on about today.
Yeah, I don't, right now I can't say what the song was on about. All I remember is one image of someone swimming. So I don't think the lyrics were anything to do with it, really. I mean...
But you say image.
No, I suppose it must be, because it was... All I remember is the lyric, swimming closer to you, and I have an image of someone swimming closer to me.
Yeah.
But I wasn't picking up on, like, some metaphor or anything like that about feeling lost or searching for anything. So, I obviously picked up on one image, but I think the musicality of the music rather than the ideas are more important to me. And I think that's what, for me, brings across the emotional connection in the music. It's not listening to the ideas as such. It's that initial impact of the music, which... Because I think if you listen to the lyrics and the ideas, it's kind of like a two-stage thing where you also have to engage with it, you have to understand it, and then you start to feel something. Whereas if you get an impact straight away from the music, mm-hmm. you can somehow understand it without even thinking about it, without even... being aware of it goes beyond kind of rational thought somehow, where you don't have to analyze. Like, I'm not a massive fan of analysis.
Yeah,
you don't have to analyze, and you don't have to worry about analyzing. All I know is that I'm listening to this, and it makes me feel this, or I enjoy this, and that's all. That's kind of, I mean, I listen to a lot of music without words, so classical music or instrumental music, and that does just as much for me as any pop song or any rock or whatever, because that has often more emotions stirred through that sort of music, and just instantly you don't have to think about why does it cause that. You just have to sit down and let it do that.
Mm. It's interesting, because I feel like that's one of the ways in which we've diverted.
Yeah.
Because I guess maybe because I I don't play a musical instrument. I don't have a musical mind. I was much more like, I did literature and film and stuff. And how post-university, I sort of went to that hip-hop was the place where I went to because it was so far away from the stuff I was listening to before. And that is all about lyrics and wordplay and poetry. And that's where I currently get pleasure from in music.
Yeah, I think for me, in the opposite way, the way I went go towards more sort of like the musicality side of it rather than the lyrics is because I get more pleasure from or gain more from the idea that you can have some emotional response to something that isn't a concrete idea. Like you can listen to a violin, just a violin on its own, and feel so much. And I just think that's amazing that you're not listening to a story as such. I mean, there is a story in there which sometimes is really quite clear, you know, instruments can speak quite a lot. But I just think it's amazing how you can have an emotional response to something that isn't words, isn't something that is an obvious idea. And that's kind of seems more intrinsic to like human emotion somehow and seems more intense and more sort of basic. And I think that's kind of what music should do. It should stir those really basic emotions and really strong emotions. And if you can do it without words, it kind of seems more powerful.
That might be a good time to actually play the song. are you nervous about hearing it again?
I'm quite excited, you know. I mean, I don't want to ruin it, though. That's the thing. I think now it won't feel the same. Like, I've got this, you know how you can build up a memory or an idea of something and you can reinforce that memory by continuing to think, oh, that's what I felt about that. That's what actually happened.
Yeah.
And then you relive it, if you can, in some way by listening to it again. And it all means something completely different. Like, oh, it's kind of ruined it.
I think when I was talking to Anna, there's been times I've watched films from when I was young and I've been waiting for a scene that was in my head and I'm actually, that scene doesn't exist. It was just something that I've created. And you sort of, if you don't listen to it again and again, you just sort of manufacture your perfect version of it.
Yeah, I think that's true with lots of things. Can even be true with people. Like if you don't see someone for a while or you have an image of, you could like, maybe you had a good time with someone for a week or so, and then you have this like rosy image, like, oh, that person that week is just so perfect with them. And then you see them again later, and you kind of just think, oh, they're really boring. what did I see in them?
Yeah.
And it's kind of, yeah, you can just reinforce your memory of something or someone, and it just skews it. Memory just changes every time.
Let's put it on. What are your first thoughts?
It sounds different to my memory of it.
Okay.
It's strange. It kind of, when it's building up to the chorus, I kind of feel, oh, it's about to kick into the bit I remember, and then it completely changes. It's like there's kind of the general feeling that, you know, it does bring that general feeling back, but then I start to listen more, and I'm like, do I remember this? I don't know if I do remember this. And it's a weird combination of sounding completely different to what I remember, but then also, it's just something about the background music or just the rhythm of it that is absolutely the same. It must be, and that does bring back some of those memories. And I think if I didn't have any memory of it, like if I hadn't heard it before, I listened to it, I think, well, this is boring and shit. But now I'm like, oh yeah, there is something about this song.
And you don't see any similarities with type of music that you listen to now?
No. Quite far away from that sort of music, I'd say, yeah.
Do you feel like you had a Proustian moment?
So Proustian. What's
so,
Proustian?
So
Proustian?
Yeah, I think that's what it's called. So in Proust's novel In Search of Lost Time, he has a character who eats a mandolin cake, and essentially they've not had that cake since childhood.
Right, okay.
And it absolutely transports them back to that moment. And it's not even a case of memory, it's just they feel like they are in that moment.
Yeah. I wouldn't say I've had a Proustian moment.
No.
I think if it catches you unawares, I would imagine it'd be much more likely. Like if I was just listening to the radio and that came on, and I wasn't thinking about maybe it would take me back, but because I knew I was going to listen to it and I was already thinking about it, and it was kind of like, I was ready to be transported back. I was like, right, let's be transported back.
Yeah.
And because you're expecting so much from it, it doesn't deliver. Whereas if it was just like catching you unawares, just hear it out of the blue, you'd be suddenly like reminded of it. I think because I'd already transported myself back there and was already kind of thinking about it, you don't feel much change. Whereas if you just hear it out of the blue, you're instantly reminded of it just without even remembering you had the memory of it, maybe.
I mean, you say that you didn't listen to the song again, you weren't a huge fan of it. But I did ask you if you wanted to stop after after the first verse of the chorus and you wanted to continue. Was that because you didn't feel like you were waiting for that moment that you said you...
Yeah, I mean, it kind of did make me feel, it did take me back, and I just wanted to kind of... Because it was like half how I remembered it and half very different. I was kind of just wanted to make sure. You know, I was trying to, like, maybe something else happens. Like, is the next chorus different? It's like, no, it's the same thing.
We get halfway through the interview and you're like, oh, it was Atomic. It was Hole again.
Yeah. Maybe it was even. I really don't know, actually. But in my head, I have... When I mean, I think it's just because I don't know much about, like, girl bands of the 1990s. Mm. In my head, when I hear that song, I think I see Atomic Kitten or Sugar Babes. I don't know what... I'm pretty sure I see Sugar Babes, like the image of them.
Are you familiar with the film The Beach?
No.
With... It's a Danny Boyle film starring Leonardo DiCaprio, in which they go to an... I think he goes to an island. He's like a traveller or something.
I haven't heard of it.
Okay. Here's a clip from The Beach.
Matt, you've blown my mind.
So when I was researching this song earlier, I found out that it was actually... I think it was commissioned by the film. So they took the scene of Leonardo DiCaprio and the actress who I don't know the name of, the scene of them swimming, and they took that to Shaznay Lewis from All Saints and asked her to make a song for that scene specifically. So I was hoping that... Because when we were talking about the song, you said that the thing that you remembered was swimming.
Yeah.
And then this scene is just them swimming together.
Yeah.
And I was thinking that maybe this is actually where you saw it.
You know what? I mean, I don't remember that film at all. I don't know if I've ever seen that. But that image is exactly what I had in my head. Because I had in my head, like, dark water at night. And it was exactly that. Like, I can't remember Leonardo DiCaprio there.
They use lots of clips from the film in the music video. So I don't know if you'd have ever...
Ever seen the music. I mean, maybe I did somewhere. I don't ever remember seeing it. But that is... Either they've done an absolute fantastic job at creating a song to... You know, bring the image of that particular scene on that particular beach. But that is uncannily like my imagination of what that song is about.
Mm-hmm.
And that is quite impressive. I mean, I must have seen that at some point. But it's strange that I suppose your memory kind of gets a bit muddled. But I don't ever remember associating with a film. All I remember was that being in my head, like imagining that. But that black water was exactly what I imagined.
Mm. Because I guess that would be, I don't know, we're talking about crushes. Like, that's a more conventional crush scene of the two of them in water. I mean, they look gorgeous together.
They do. Leonardo's beautiful.
Yeah, they're coming out of the water, and it's a real magical...
On a moonlit beach with lit up plankton.
Yeah, it's so idyllic.
Yeah, I want to be there.
So what I wanted to link that to was actually to say how this moment has actually defined your whole life. Because, the whole point of the beach is Leonardo DiCaprio is essentially... bored of his mundane life. So he's got a quote where he says, I just feel like everyone tries to do something different, but you always wind up doing the same damn thing. And so he goes off and he travels. And now in the last year or so, you went on a long travel where you were cycling by yourself.
Yes.
Trying to capture that feeling from Pure Shores.
I think it may well have defined my whole life.
I mean, because you talked about it throughout school, like this was your ambition was to... go off and cycle. And I think this is the seed.
Listening to Pure Shores has made me want to cycle around the world.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe that film... When was this film written?
I think it came out in 2000.
Okay, well, I suppose the song was commissioned for it.
Yeah.
Maybe I did see this film without... Sometimes, you know, I'd be on the couch and fall asleep. Maybe I did watch it without realising it, and it has affected my whole life. It does seem to sum me up very well. Having a crush on some girl in the water and then going cycling because I don't have a mundane life.
Yeah.
It is kind of... You should be a psychologist.
Yeah, I mean, I did think this would be a real Hail Mary because I thought there's going to be... When you said that you hadn't seen the film, I was like, oh no, it's going to be...
That's even better though. It's like... It's I must have seen it. Is that close to the image in my head of what that song is? That water. I suppose dark water all looks the same, doesn't it? But even I have images of legs as well, like these naked legs, and her legs are flopping around in it quite a bit. What happens at the end of the film? Actually, no, I think I'll watch it.
Yeah, you should go and watch it and see
see how the rest of my life pans out.
Yeah, I mean, it's not great.
All right.
it has peaks and troughs, so I think is the way I would describe it. Pure Shores is a song that you think about a very specific part of your life.
Yeah.
Do you have other songs that you see as being comparable? And do you have songs that you feel like you could look back on that in the past year or so that will be touchstones in the same way?
Yeah, I think if we're talking about the last year, and as you said, I've been cycling on my own for a while and listening to the same music quite a bit. I listened to David Thomas Broughton a lot. And I think I've been thinking about going cycling for so long. It's kind of been my goal for so long.
Because of the beach.
Because of the beach film. That it's kind of, in my head, it's going to be like this almost coming of age trip, you know, in a way. And because it's become so important, I think I'm always going to remember the start of it. And the music I listened to at that point is going to sum up that feeling of kind of the fear of going around this big trip that in my head I've bigged up so much, and it's got to be important, it's got to be good. And the excitement of going off travelling, and just like the sudden freedom of having worked for a few years to save up for it. And there's like so many strong emotions going on there. And I think David Thomas Broughton and his Crippling Lack EPs are going to just sum that up. And also what they're talking about is very much reflects what I've been kind of thinking, and I can kind of appeals to me a lot. So it's not just the sound of it as well as Pure Shores was, I guess, when I was 7. This is kind of just everything. It just sounds perfect, and I've listened to it so much over the past like year or so. That's kind of going to sum up this sort of leaving university, leaving work, and going off travelling.
Do you think you'll be able to listen to David Thomas Broughton in the few years' time, or will it be too painful?
No, I think I will. I mean, I don't know yet, because it's not that it's been like the happiest time of my life, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I think I'll be able to listen to it. I mean, it's quite sad music, but I'm pretty sure it's going to stay with me. It feels like something that's going to stay with me forever.
Nice. Well, that seems like a perfect time to end. Yeah. James, thank you very much for coming in.
Well, thank you for having me.
And see you soon.